Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening. Guys, today, if you have a Bible with you, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we're going to hang out today. If this is your first time to church ever, maybe your first time to church in a while, and you're like, oh, don't have a Bible, didn't bring one, that's okay. Feel free to use a phone or a tablet, whatever helps you follow along. You can download a Bible app, and that'll help you follow along, and you can do that to be with us today and read God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, I got to make a confession before we dive in today. That this was, even as I've been thinking about this over the last few weeks and this series that I knew we were going to do together as a church family, I got to admit, I've been least looking forward to this passage, to this topic, because today we are talking about God. All right? And you may go, well, what do you mean you're least looking forward to talking about God? Yeah, because how, in a reasonable amount of time, guessing you people want to go home sometime in the next 3 to 4 days, how do you possibly do justice to talking about God? Like, how do you do that? Like, what do you say? And the more you dive in and say, well, maybe I could talk about this or talk about that, the more you dive in, it's like diving into a vast ocean where everywhere you look around you is just more ocean. And that's what it's like trying to figure out, how do I talk about God to people? And it's because, to be honest with you, the more I dive into that ocean to think about God and to reflect on who He is, the less confident I am that I know what I'm talking about. Like you may sit back and go, Brandon, it's real easy, just talk about God. This is God. These are some of the doctrines. But man, as you do a deep dive, you start to think about and know God, and you just go, man, what do I know? Like, and I would say, if you can figure your God out, you're probably your own God. Like if your God is so small that you've got Him nailed, then it's probably you, just whatever you've created Him to be. Because when I read about the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I look at the great I Am of Scripture, I actually fear. And so a couple of days ago, I was looking over my notes and I was saying, God, like, maybe we should just skip this part. Because, like, you're so holy, so amazing, so vast, so wonderful. They're like, what, who, like, I just want to make sure I don't get struck down today. Like, that's the goal, all right, is that I just make it out of here alive as we talk about who God is. And so I think this will be good for us, but I want you to know, the man, as we talk about God, there's no possible way that we could do a justice to such a holy, awesome God full of splendor and majesty. So let's go to God's Word. Let's read what it says about Him. And then we'll try to go on a journey of seeing what this all is. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, starting in verse 1. If you're there, say, I'm there.
Here.
All right. Now, concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Do you see the starting point here where it says, if you think you know God, you don't know? Like if you think you've got this whole thing, this whole faith thing nailed down, you think I've studied doctrine, I have all the answers, I know everything that I need to know, come ask me, I'll be able to explain everything to you. The Bible says you're a liar. You don't know. He says, but if you will move from a life of knowledge to a life of love, God will know you. So then it begs the question, what's more important for us? For us to have a human understanding of God, to have more knowledge that puffs us up, or to say, I may not know everything about God, but God knows everything about me. And I would say that's the first right understanding of God. To say, I may not be able to figure him out, but I know that he's got me figured out. I know that he knows me. All right, let's keep going. Verse 4. Therefore, as to eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. All right, now I'll stop there because this is what the Apostle Paul is the one writing this. He's writing to a church in Corinth. And it's really cool because if you are headed to our Greece go trip in next month, if you are headed out to Greece with us to go serve refugees, you're actually going to get to go to Corinth. And we're actually going to go to the place where Paul is making this address. And he's talking to the people of Corinth about this. You're going to be able to see and kind of understand the scene as to what he was talking about. But it's interesting because he quotes Scripture twice. An idol has no real existence, and there is no God but one. All right, let's keep going. Verse 5. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us, and don't miss this, there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Now, I want you to see right here as we go, we're really going to use verse 6 as our launching pad today, but I want you to notice that on and on, Paul begins talking about idols. And really what he's doing is he's using one discrepancy in the church, which was, can we eat food that was offered to an idol? So if somebody comes to the church potluck, all right, and somebody shows up and says, oh, we're going to have a church potluck. Everybody bring, you know, your favorite dish. And in comes Bertha. And Bertha comes in, and she's got Bertha's brownies. The problem is that 3 days ago, Bertha sacrificed those brownies to an idol, okay? And now we're wondering, should we eat them? Because they were baked for this other false god. And if I eat it, am I worshiping that God? And those were the types of questions. Now, I say, praise God, that we're a couple of thousand years removed from kind of the beginnings of the church. And we've kind of figured some of that out, that we're like, well, actually, because of what Paul said here, he would say, well, you know, eat the brownie. Because I don't think eating the brownie is going to cause you to worship the devil. So it's okay if you want to eat the brownie. And he goes on the rest of that chapter and says, but if somebody's going to get upset and lose their faith over eating the brownie, don't eat the brownie. So that's the rest of the passage in context. I would say right here that this is what Paul's telling us is he says, you got to be careful just throwing out the word God. He says there's lots of gods. He said that people use the word God and Lord all the time. Now, this is interesting because the first church we started in 2012 was in Fairfax County, Virginia. And this is what we learned very quickly. We learned very quickly that it was not enough, and I would say that the same is true here in Fredericksburg, that it is not enough to just say God. It is not enough just to say the Lord. Because what's happened is we have gotten wrapped up into a Western context where we just assume if someone's talking about God, they're talking about Jesus. We just assume if somebody's talking about Lord, that they're talking about Jesus. But guys, lots of different cultures use that. Lots of different religions use the term Lord and the word God. And so when you're in a place that has so many vast misunderstandings of who God is, we're not looking as followers of Jesus just for the word God. This is why sometimes you can color me unimpressed when people get up like athletes or whatever and they win the Super Bowl and they're like, I just got to thank God. And I'm thinking, wow, I had no idea God was a Chiefs fan. Like, I had no clue that was true, because now I guess the other team, if God helped them win, I guess God hates the other team. And so what happens is we just throw the name God. I'm messing with some of your theology really bad right now. All right. And we just throw the name God out as if everyone knows what that means. But church, listen to me. What Paul is saying is that even in the beginnings of the church, even in the beginnings as Christianity began to expand and spread across the world, Paul said, you got to be careful, because not every God is our God. Not everyone who says Lord is talking about Jesus. So we got to be really clear. So here's my encouragement to you. Speak the name of Jesus. We were at a prayer gathering this past week. And I was sitting down next to somebody, and I there he is. All right, there's Vic. I wasn't going to call you out, but when you wave your arms in the air, I'll call you out. I was sitting next to Vic, and I was, you know, Victor is like one of the most innocent, pure, like, people. Like, when I need a boost, I'm like, I need to talk to Victor, you know, because he's going to hype me up. Like, he's the best. And so if you need some encouragement today, go line up and talk to Victor, because Victor's an encourager. Now, here's the thing, is Victor sitting there and we're listening to prayers. And there were just some prayers that didn't sound like they had great theology, didn't sound like they lined up with the God that I knew of the Bible, and not a single time did they pray in the name of Jesus. Now, some did, but some just prayed in the name that was high, or the name that is in heaven. Or the name, and guys, I want you to listen to me. We believe that Jesus Christ is God. And in a culture where some of you grew up and you said, well, this is America, it's a Christian nation, everybody knows that. That's not true anymore. And we can't get by just throwing, we got to be clear about who God is. And so that's what Paul is doing here. And that's why even when I work with Gavin and our worship serve team, and we talk about what songs are we going to sing, we're like, they got to have the name of Jesus in them. And if they don't have the name of Jesus in them and declare Jesus as risen from the dead, then we got to explain how that song points to Jesus rising from the dead. Because if we're not careful, we will sing worship songs that any other religion could sing as well. And guys, what we want is, if you are here today from a different religion, like, what I hope is that through the songs that we sing, through our time in God's Word, that you will have a better understanding of what we believe and why we believe that. There's an author and preacher, J.I. Packer. He said this quote. He said, in the Bible, the great divide is between those who believe in the Christian God and those who serve idols. You may say, well, Brandon, I don't like that, because that's not very loving towards other religions. And I would say, nobody said don't love all people. Jesus loved, and I believe he died for all people, that anyone who would come to him could be saved. But the Bible draws a contrast and says not every God is the same. So, when we are saying God, what are we saying? I think we're just saying two things today. When I'm speaking about God, these are the two things that I'm saying today, and you can write these down. Number one is, I'm saying Yahweh. Yahweh is the name for God. When God introduces himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he says, there's a burning bush, and Moses is like, the bush is talking to me, and it's on fire, but it's not burning. And so Moses, like, if it's me, I'm running the opposite direction. Moses, a little crazy, God loves to use crazy people. Moses walks up to the bush. and starts talking. And the bush says, I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. You're going to go, I've heard the cries of my people. We're going to go rescue people out of slavery. It's going to be great. I've got this whole rescue plan set up. And Moses, I'm going to use you. And Moses, you know, tells him, you know, no. And then finally Moses is like, I'm not going to do it. And God's like, well, that's not an option. You are going to do it. Moses says, okay, when I knock on Pharaoh's door, and I say, hi, Pharaoh, I'm Moses. Who should I say sent me to him? And the burning bush, God, says, I am sent you. I am. The name Yahweh literally means I am that I am. Always has been, always will be, always is. Unchanging, just I am is the name of God. So when we're talking about God, this is the God we're talking about. The second thing I would say when we're talking about God is we're talking about the triune God. So if you're taking notes, write down the word Trinity. The word Trinity. The Trinity is really just what we're talking about is God in three persons. And in those three persons are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I drastically wish that I had a few hours to completely unpack the Trinity for you. I think, Frankie, you're going to be preaching soon, and maybe we can get you up here and unpack the Trinity for us without committing heresy. But here's what I want you to know. When we're talking about God, this is the God that we're talking about. So if you're taking notes, write this down, because this is where I want us to land today. This is there's so much to get about God. But if we're going off the Apostles' Creed, these are the two things that I think every follower of Jesus needs to be able to affirm about who God is, okay? So write this down. Our God is an intimate Father and a powerful Creator. Our God is an intimate Father and a powerful Creator. Now let's just start here with intimate Father. What does it mean that God would be an intimate Father? And I want to read to you a passage from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. One of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. I probably say that every week about something, but this time I really mean it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and I think we'll have it on the screen. I want you to hear what this says. See what kind of love the what? Everybody say Father. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of what? God. And so we are. Isn't that amazing? What kind of love the Father's lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God? And then follows up, just in case you're going, no. Follows up with, no, we are. We are. Like this is an incredible truth. And so even, I think it's fascinating, we're talking about this as we, today we stood up in the middle of our worship, we acknowledged Foster Care Awareness Month, where we got to hear from the Kinsey family and others who are participating in foster care, whether it's by fostering or offering respite or dropping off diapers or praying or giving funds, we have an amazing church who's been a part of that. But here's the spiritual truth. The spiritual truth is that every one of us, before we know Jesus, is a spiritual orphan with no home, fostered by the world. It's who we are. You are born that way. You are not born a Christian. Notice the first words of the Apostles' Creed. Is I believe, not we believe. Because we can't save each other. Your parents can't save you. You growing up in church can't save you. You going to a church that meets your preferences won't save you. None of that's going to transform a heart. Okay? Your belief. You're like one day you stand before God and you are either covered in your own righteousness or the righteousness of Christ. And you don't get to bring your spouse with you. You don't get to bring your community group with you. You don't get to bring your parents with you. It's just you. And so that's why the Apostles' Creed starts with, I believe, even though we're saying it together, it's a personal decision that we have to decide. And so the fact is, every one of us are born spiritual orphans. This is why Jesus says you're not born into the family. You have to be born again into the family. This is one of the only religions in the world where you're not just born into it. Like in your testimony, you have not always been a Christian. Like nobody's testimony, when someone asks you, how long have you been a Christian? Nobody's testimony starts with, I've always been. Nobody's testimony starts with, I was born a Christian. Now you can say I was raised in church, but that's not the same as I'm a follower of Jesus. Okay? So we have to look at this. What, guys, we were all born spiritual orphans. We were unable to be with God because we have a problem called sin. Sin just means disobedience. It means we've disobeyed Him, and that caused some separation. But God loved us so much. Everybody say love.
Love.
Guys, love is the motivation, which is why we call Him an intimate Father. Because a father's motive is love. Even when a good father has to discipline, that father disciplines to achieve love. Like, this is God's intention. Because God loved you, God made a way for you to be adopted into His family. Now, why did we have to be adopted? Because we are not born into His family. We are born in our sin. We are born orphans. And God said, that's not good enough. I want them to be with me. I want them to be my children. I want to take them in. And here's the great thing about being adopted. Okay, this is amazing. Is that when you're adopted, everything about your past goes away. You can get a new name. You're not bound by the same generational curses. You are a new person and a new family and a new location with a brand new start. And guys, this is the beauty of adoption. It's because adoption gives us new life, a new start, a new family, a new opportunity. And so we had to be adopted into His family. But we were adopted because He loves us. Now, we need to talk about the word father for a second, because anytime we talk about father, the truth is I've counseled with many people over the years, and one of the biggest stumbling blocks to people wanting to receive God as a father is their relationship with their own father. And so I want to acknowledge a couple of things before we move forward today. I did not have a great relationship with my earthly father, my biological dad. Did not know him until I was 9 years old. And even when I met him, maybe it would have been better had I not. He's not a great dude. And that has done harm for my relationship with God, but it is also the thing that God used to bring me to Himself. And so I want you to say that, I want you to hear me say that there are those in this room today who have legitimate relationships with an earthly dad that have been abusive, that have been wrong, that have caused a lot of hurt and disarray. And I want you to hear me say with compassion in my heart that that is real. And I'm not suggesting that God is going to swoop in and all of a sudden those things just magically would not have happened to you. But what I am going to tell you is that God is able to come into your life and transform you and to take what the enemy meant to destroy you and actually turn it for your good. Some have been abandoned by a father, and I get it. So there are those in that room. And I just want you to hear me say, man, that is an earthly father who is full of sin, not a perfect image of our relationship with a heavenly Father. When God refers to Himself as a father, He is not thinking about your earthly dad. He's not thinking about, well, you know what? Well, call me father, And he's not looking at, you know, your example of a father and saying, compare me to that. God makes his own example of a father. And God is holy. Everyone say holy. God is holy. God is perfect. God is a holy, perfect father. And so God knows no other way to do that. Now, there are others in the room who have relationships with an earthly dad. And if we're being honest, they were just a regular plain sinner. Maybe there wasn't any crazy abuse, maybe whatever, but they were just, you know, a regular sinner. And the fact is that sometimes, and maybe I say this as now a dad of three younger kids, that I realize I've just given up to the fact that I'm probably going to be mentioned a lot of times in their therapy bills, like growing up. My goal is just to beat Ellen. I just want to be mentioned more, okay? I have that need, all right? But here's what I know. The reason that's going to happen is because I'm a sinner. I'm saved by God's grace. I'm being transformed into his likeness, but I'm not perfect. I can only beg and pray to God that my imperfections lead my children to desire a relationship with a perfect heavenly Father that God is. And so I just say that because maybe some of us need to cut some earthly dad some slack. Maybe offer some forgiveness. Love them because Christ loves them. Move on. Regardless of where you find yourself today, I just want you to know that God is not your earthly dad. God sets the standard of holiness and perfection. He knows exactly how to love us. But it's important to know, I think, that God, the God of the Bible, Jesus, not the only God that was ever referred to as a father. In fact, the father figure for a God was actually a pretty common place. One of my favorite stories is actually the story of the Greek mythical god, Zeus. Okay, you guys ever heard of Zeus? In fact, again, if you're going to Greece, this is your Greece message today, apparently. If you're going to Greece, you're going to go to Athens, and you're going to get to see Zeus's temple. And in fact, I think I brought a picture of it, if we can throw that up. Yeah, there it is. That's what's left of Zeus's temple. Now, they called Zeus, he's not there. Here's the thing. They would call Zeus a father. But here's the problem is that now their reaction of God as a father is just some dude sitting up on his temple with a lightning bolt ready to strike you down if you did something that didn't please him. And guys, for so many of us, if we're not careful, that's how we will interact with God as our father. As someone who's just up there ready to strike us down and get us if we're not careful. But guys, the difference in this, calling this dude a father, well, there are a lot of differences, to be honest. But one of the main differences is relationship. See, Zeus was not in relationship with the people. Zeus was just ready to strike them down if they did bad. God is a father that wants to be in relationship with us. The same relationship, let this blow your mind for a second. You might want to write this down. The same relationship Jesus had with the Father, we can have with the Father. Jesus tells me that in John 17. The same relationship Jesus had with the Father, you can have with your heavenly Father. So I want you to remember, when we declare who God is, what we're saying is that our God is an intimate Father, and he is a powerful Creator. He is an intimate Father. He is a powerful Creator. Now, what does that mean to be a powerful Creator? Because at the same time, while he is an intimate father pursuing relationship with us, he is also a powerful creator. Well, I want to read a passage of scripture to you, Psalm chapter 147, verse 5. And we'll put it on the screen, but I want you to write it down because I want you to go back and read it this week. Psalm 147, verse 5. Listen to what it says about God. Great. Everyone say great. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. That's amazing. That God is my Father. Check that out. That's one difference between God and an earthly dad. So when we talk about how God is powerful, let me teach you some words, maybe some church words, theological words that may help you in your understanding of what we're talking about. The Apostles' Creed uses the word almighty. Everyone say almighty.
Almighty.
Uses the word Father Almighty. Now, word almighty, really, I want to use a few words for what it means. The first thing is it means God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent, omnipotent. What that means is all powerful. God is all powerful. Listen to that psalm. Great is our Lord, abundant in power. Our God is all powerful. Think about like the things that God has done. God created the universe out of nothing. There was nothing. And then God created everything that was. And he did it through his spoken word. Now, I don't know about you. I can't do that. You? We had a little saying. It's like, I don't know where it came from, but I started telling it to myself. Then I probably started telling it to some of you people too. But it's hard when you don't get what you want. But when you get your own universe, you can do it your way. And the fact is, God has his own universe. Think about this. God controls all of nature. All of nature. Anybody hear the thunder last night? That was amazing. I mean, it was just incredible. Like, where did that come from? Well, God was bowling. That's amazing. These guys own bowling alley. I'm just kidding. God controls nature. There's times where if God says to the waves, I want you to stop. If God tells the ocean, this is only as far as you can come. If God tells the skies to open or to close, he tells them and they do it. That doesn't work for me. If I want it to rain, I can go outside and I can do my rain dance all day long. You guys want to see that? That's a paid subscription. You're gonna have to pay for that. Like, I can go out, I can do my rain dance all day long. I can do whatever, okay? The fact is, I have no power or I'm going to pay for that one. I have no power or control over nature, but God does. God controls the human body. Controls the human body. Doesn't matter how far advanced medical technology goes, there are still boundaries of which we have not crossed. But God is in control. Like, he is a powerful creator. He has all power. Write this word down if you can. God is also omniscient. Omniscience. Omniscient. All-knowing. He knows everything. God literally knows everything. Think about it. God knows every secret. Well, that's actually terrifying. No, for real. Because, like, we think we have secrets, and God is like, I know them. In fact, not only do I know them, but, like, I could out you anytime. And he doesn't just know your secret. He knows everybody's. Like, God knows there are no secrets to him. God knows the future. Did you know that? I don't know the future. The people with crystal balls, they don't know the future. Like, there are people, you don't know the future. And this comes through, like, right? Like, think about it. God knows all the answers to your questions, which is the only thing that gets me through with a curious 5-year-old in my house. As I'm just like, love bug, you're going to have to talk to Jesus about that. Okay? Let me teach you how to pray. Because there's just answers I don't have, but God has all the answers. Who am I going to marry? Will I marry? God knows. Like, where should I live? God knows. What should I do with my life? God knows. What career should I have? God knows. What should I be doing a year from now? God knows. What is God calling me to do? God knows. Like who should I be friends with? God knows. Should I be in this relationship? God knows. Will I ever make it out of this depression? God knows. And you will. Like God knows everything. He is all-knowing. Write this word down. God is also omnipresent, which means he is always present. God is in your future, preparing the way for you. God is in your past, cleaning up all of your messes. And God is in your present, right here, right now with you. God is in heaven. God is on earth. God can be all places at one time. Here's the last thing I want you to write down. God is sovereign. This means God is always in control. The word sovereign means in control. Isn't that awesome that Sovereign won the Kentucky Derby? Not horse followers, eh? It's all right. You watched it? Okay, we'll talk about it later. These people, they're not even worthy to hear our conversation of the Kentucky Derby that I literally read about on the internet when I woke up this morning. God is sovereign, meaning he is always in control. He's in control of the universe, every star, every planet, every galaxy that we've never even heard of before. God is actively controlling every molecule, every thing there. God controls it. God is in control of your life. God is in control whether or not you wake up every morning. Did you know that? Did you know you don't wake yourself up? Did you know that God wakes you up? And that he is your only hope for that? Like, God is in control of all things. And God is in control of this world. Can somebody say amen? Amen. To know that presidents, kings, popes are not in charge. They have very little power. And the power they do have is temporary. It may affect the next 10 years of your life. Maybe. But even then, it only happened because God allowed it to happen. God is in utter control of everything that happens in this world. God is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is always present. And he is always in control. Now, I'll have Gavin go ahead and come up. We're gonna begin to land this plane. But before we do, I want to say, hand off the baby. I want to say that this speaks directly to our culture. This month, along with being foster care awareness, is also mental health awareness month, which I think is probably every month anyway. We should always be aware of that. As I look at this, I would say, doesn't this speak directly to our culture full of anxiety, full of depression? To know, not just up here, but to believe in our hearts that God is all-powerful, but he is also an intimate father. That your intimate father knows everything. That your intimate father can do everything. That your intimate father is in control of all things. To know that those two things are who he is at all times. He does not say, oh, Brandon needs me to put on my dad hat right now. So I'll come comfort him, but I'm not as strong and mighty as I could be. Or, you know, God really needs me, or Brandon really needs me to be the powerful one right now. He needs me kind of in his face and doing all this. Guys, God is completely able to be both an intimate father and a powerful creator at the same time in your life. That's good news. It's good news for us to know. And so the question I want to ask today is, what God are you believing in? What God have you given your life to today? Is it an idol like we read about in 1 Corinthians? An idol where it's just a God made in your image that only believes the things you believe and only does the things you want him to do. And it's basically, instead of you being made in God's image, you've just made a God in your image. Like, what God do you believe in today? Or are you going to choose to give your life and to believe in a God that is able to be intimately personal with you as a father, and a God who is a powerful creator and able to be in control of every aspect of your life. What God are you choosing to believe in today? Maybe some of us need to repent of some idols in our lives today. We need to repent of trying to make God something that makes us comfortable rather than a God that is worthy of all of our worship today. I don't know about you, but a God that I create does not deserve this. He does not deserve a party every Sunday. Maybe once a year. Bring him gifts. But not this. Guys, the only God that is deserving of this is the God of the Bible. The God who literally controls death. Like he literally defeated death. That's the God that I'm going all into. That's the God I'm hanging my life on. And we need to answer the question, what God are we hanging our life on today? What God are you praying to when you need help? What God are you running to when you need sustaining? Or what God are you running away from today? See, some of us, we like to pick a side. You know, we're like, we like intimate Father God. He makes us really comfortable. We don't like all-powerful God because he gets controlling. We like to stay right here. And some of you who are there and you face your entire relationship with God based on emotion and feeling. Hey, there's an aspect of God that's like that. But if you've based your entire relationship with God on just that, then you have not even touched the surface of who your God is. Or if you're over here and the only God you worship is one that only uses big words, that is only all-powerful, that is only all-knowing, that is only in control, but you don't know him personally. You don't have any sort of intimate relationship with him. You're just trying to please him because you know how powerful he is. You're missing the God of the Bible. So the key for us is to not continue to go side to side. The key for us is to accept God for who he is. An intimate Father and a powerful Creator. To believe in him and give control of our lives to him. Man, how many of you came to worship that God today? How many of you need that God in your life today? And man, that's why we can't treat the worship of God casually. We can't just come in here and say we're planting a church and do all this stuff and make it cool and make it all this so that everybody's happy. Guys, when's the last time? Instead of walking out of a worship service going, well, what'd you think? When's the last time you walked out of a worship service and said, Lord, what did you think? What'd you think, Lord? Did we worship you today? Are you pleased with this today? Are you honored with this today? And the fact is, we may get a lot of things wrong, but we can't afford as a new church to get the worship of God wrong. It's got to be our chief value. It's got to be the one thing we value, not just on Sundays, but every breath we take has to value the worship of a God who is an intimate Father and a powerful Creator. Let's pray together.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.